I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. At the U.S. Open in New York.
Rafael Nadal has a fourth U.S. Open title. He survived a tough, entertaining 4-hour, 50-minute match against rising star Daniil Medvedev 7-5, 6-3, 5-7, 4-6, 6-4.
The way that the match became very dramatic at the end, that makes this day unforgettable, and part of my history of this sport,
Winning his 19th career Grand Slam at the U.S. Open last year, tennis great Rafael Nadal will not return this year to defend his title. In a tweet Tuesday, Nadal said, "I have decided not to play this year's U.S. Open. The situation is very complicated worldwide. The COVID-19 cases are increasing. It looks like we still don't have control of it." Nadal needs one more Grand Slam title to tie the all-time men's record of 20 held by Roger Federer of Switzerland. Tour-level women's tennis returned after a five-month absence due to the coronavirus pandemic as 6-seed Dana Vekic of Croatia beat Arantxa Rus of the Netherlands in the first round of the WTA Palermo Open with only a handful of fans in the stands. The world number 24 won 6-1, 6-2 in a match where both players had to handle their own towels and forego the traditional post-match handshake.
It felt pretty good after a long 5 months. I was really happy to be out there, to be competing, to be playing points, and that winning feeling, nothing can come close to it. So I'm really happy right now.
The tournament offered no showers on site for the players, and they were not allowed to stop and sign autographs or pose for selfies.
We have a lot of really smart people working on this, really a number of committed players who want to play through this. But everybody wants to play safely.
Mark Attanasio, the owner of Major League Baseball's Milwaukee Brewers, says the tenuous season depends on everyone involved with the game.
If we're not smart and safe, then we'll fail. But we do everything we can not to fail.
Attanasio spoke as the Brewers were to have played their home opener against the St. Louis Cardinals in Milwaukee. But the game was canceled after two Cardinals players tested positive for COVID-19.
Part of what you're seeing where you're canceling a game like today is a focus on trying to get through the season rather than just look at something that's in a plan and say, the plan was XYZ, so we're going to do XYZ.
Cardinals president of baseball operations John Mosliak was hopeful the team could quickly get back on the field if the results of another round of tests show the virus has not spread to other players.
We have a lot of balls up in the air. It's obviously creating a lot of anxiety here, and we certainly understand the importance of trying to get back on the field, but we recognize the importance of player and staff safety as well. So really just ask for people's patience in all of this, and we understand the business is baseball, and if we can try to find a way to get back out there, we're going to.
By the end of last week, 6 Major League Baseball teams were idle because of the COVID-19 pandemic. League Commissioner Rob Manfred is concerned that players follow the sport's coronavirus protocols, with the cancellation of the season a possibility if virus cases continue to spread. One of baseball's teams on the sidelines is the Miami Marlins. 18 players on the team have tested positive for coronavirus. Marlins CEO Derek Jeter slammed reports that some of his players had broken protocols and went to night spots during a stop in Atlanta.
There's no salacious activity. There's no hanging out at bars, no clubs, no running around Atlanta, no running around the town. What it boiled down to on this particular trip was guys were around each other, they got relaxed, and they let their guard down. They were getting together in groups. They weren't wearing masks as much as they should have. They weren't social distancing. Everyone was getting tested. We went the whole spring training 2.0 without a positive.
Still, Jeter blames the entire traveling team for not fully complying with virus protocols.
The entire traveling party is responsible for not following the protocols as instructed. That includes coaches, staffs, and players. You know, everyone has seen the impact. They've seen their teammates get sick, and I know they all have a new level of appreciation. Hopefully, you know, this has been a wake-up call for everyone, not only on our team, but in the rest of baseball and sports in general.
Miami last played on July 26th in Philadelphia, and Jeter says thankfully everyone seems to be relatively okay so far.
You know, the players are doing okay. All things considered, I've checked in with our guys, and all things considered, they're in good spirits, but we hope they get healthy and safe sooner rather than later.
The coronavirus continues to force changes in Major League Baseball's beleaguered schedule, as 8 teams have been affected in the first 9 days of the season.
I don't think there's any indication yet that the league is considering shutting down the season based on this. They're insisting that the protocols they have in place should be able to allow them to continue the season even with positive tests, even with this happening.
Associated Press reporter Jake Seiner says Major League Baseball's protocol plans include comprehensive contact tracing.
MLB, as part of their plan to operate the 60-game season, they hatched an entire system for contact tracing. They appointed a few people in the commissioner's office to oversee the program. Those people have worked with teams to identify at least 2 existing team employees that were then trained to do contact tracing.
But he cautions the plan is obviously not bulletproof.
A real flaw for this plan would be if a team employee came to a player and said, "Hey, we need you to divulge everything that you've been doing, even in your personal life, for the last 48 hours. If a player has reason to think that they violated some of the safety protocols and they think the team might punish him for that, they might not be as forthcoming as is necessary to make these contact tracing investigations as thorough as they need to be to really be one of the pillars of keeping players safe through the 60-game season.
Seiner says baseball's contact tracing only includes team members.
Major League Baseball's contact tracing program is limited strictly to team and league personnel. They might identify as part of that program that a player had an interaction with, say, a hotel staffer. They will not then reach out directly to that hotel staffer. That is not part of their program.
He says teams are encouraged to consult with local health authorities as they travel around the United States.
What the league has told all teams is that they must interact and connect with local health departments, local health entities, establish some lines of communication there, figure out what those local health entities want in those situations. And also they're allowed to reach out to the companies, encouraged in fact to reach out to, say, hotel management if they have reason to believe that hotel staff member has interacted with a player who's come back with a positive test.
Team tracers have to complete a 2-hour online training course. That's substantially less training than provided to tracers preparing to work with the general public. MLB does mandate extra precautions for those close contacts when they return to stadiums, daily testing for at least a week, more rigorous symptom checks, and stricter rules about face coverings. Some teams have also acquired point-of-care testing machines, which provide rapid results. However, the league has warned teams that those tests are not as accurate, and those results cannot be used to clear a player or coach.
You know, we want to do the best job we can, not just for them, but for all of us, really, because you know, we know we're a bit of a pioneer here in bringing some fans back into live sport.
Patrick Nelson, Irish Football Association CEO, was on hand as Northern Ireland held the first football match in the UK since lockdown, with about 500 spectators in attendance to see the postponed Irish Cup final.
I don't think at the moment we've got specific steps that we want to set out, because we want to react to the circumstances that we see on the day. We'll analyse that, we'll see how well it went, and we'll put plans in place to expand that, both from the point of view of our own league, you know, getting the Northern Ireland Football League back up and running for the next season, and also hopefully for crowds at international games over the autumn.
Nelson says while the fans had to be checked thoroughly before attending, the protocols also extend to the teams.
There's a lot of restrictions even in terms of the players and the coaches. So for example, the team talks are going to be done on the pitch. We're using corporate lounges instead of dressing rooms because they're bigger. We're using hand sanitizers all over the place. We're sanitizing the balls. And we're putting them on ball tees around instead of having ball boys around. And we've got temperature checks coming in as well. And we've got temperature checks for the players, and they're going to be used for the spectators as well.
He says the seating arrangements were strategically made.
What we've done is we've put spectators behind both goals. So one team behind one team behind the other. And we've got, like we've seen in a lot of Premier League and Football League games, we've got sort of messaging banners along the the main part of the seats, which aren't being used to get good messages out. Particularly, we're thanking the National Health Service and key workers, and we're using the UEFA No to Racism message, which is quite an important one.
And the usual boisterous party atmosphere at Northern Ireland games are now not including refreshing pints of ale.
It's going to be dry. You wouldn't be able to get a pint and watch the game anyway.
Irish FA CEO Patrick Nelson is assessing all that has been learned to project forward to games later this year and out of the country.
We're planning for our Nations League games. Our first one is away to Romania on the 4th of September. We're in touch with UEFA. We're in touch with our friends in the Romanian FA. And of course, we're in touch with our government here on all the planning around that. And what will be, will be.
Punctured tires seem to be the story of Formula One's British Grand Prix, where Mercedes driver Lewis Hamilton won a record-extending seventh Silverstone victory. Lewis said he could hear Red Bull rival Max Verstappen catching up on the final stretch as Lewis struggled to get over the line with three functioning wheels, having suffered a puncture of his own on the final lap.
I made some switch changes to lock all the diff and just tried my hardest to get round without losing too much time, and I could hear him catching me. 30 seconds, 20 seconds, 19, 15, 10, 7, and I'm thinking, geez, this is one of the most horrible feelings, hearing someone catch you that lap when you get overtaken just before the line or something. Thankfully, with everyone's support, we managed to bring it home.
Verstappen said he was happy with second, despite knowing that if he had not made a pit stop, he could have overtaken Hamilton to win the race.
Well, I mean, could have, would have, should have. You know, in a way, Lewis got lucky, but also unlucky because he got a puncture. At the end of the day, they were way faster than us, so they deserved to win that race. And I'm happy with second because I had a little present, of course, with Valtteri having a puncture, you know. So once he got a puncture, we're like, okay, well, we're going to just make sure that we are second. So we box, put new tires on and do the fast lap. In a way, yeah, it's unlucky. Then, of course, you lose it by 5 seconds because Lewis gets a puncture. But is that lucky or unlucky? I don't know. I'm happy with second to them.
Russia held a nationwide running event in 85 cities, including Moscow, despite having a ban on mass events due to COVID-19. Russia currently has the fourth largest population to have been confirmed with the coronavirus. Organizers say 17,000 people in Moscow and 8,000 people in St. Petersburg participated. Russia Sports Minister Oleg Matitsyn hoped that the event marked a turning point for the country. For us, it's twice the festivities, as it takes place in the period when we are hopefully, conclusively, over the pandemic. And I see the joy in the eyes of participants and organizers. We are returning to a normal life. Runners have the choice of covering distances between 1.5 kilometers and 21.1 kilometers. A runner in St. Petersburg was very happy. How cool that it happens in our beautiful city of St. Petersburg, and the other 84 cities are also running. The half marathons across Russia happened at the same time, despite 11 time zones. We are lucky with today's weather. It's neither hot nor cold. Everything is perfect. Nobody disturbed us. All the roads were closed for us. It's wonderful. Organizers hope the event will be registered in the Guinness Book of World Records as the largest running event spanning dozens of cities. The Russian Athletics Federation has avoided expulsion from World Athletics after Russian Minister of Sport Oleg Matitsyn guaranteed to pay an outstanding fine.
The Russian Minister of Sport Oleg Matitsyn gave an unconditional commitment that the outstanding $6.3 million will be paid in full by no later than 15th August 2020. He also indicated his intention to support the reinstatement process moving forward.
Council Chairman Rune Anderson said the payment will allow drug-free Russian athletes to again compete in international events.
If those conditions are met, Russian athletes will be permitted to apply to compete as authorized neutral athletes in the international competitions taking place in 2020. The cap of 10 ANAs for World Athletics Series events and the Olympic Games that Council imposed in March will apply, although the only such event in 2020 is the World Athletics Half Marathon Championships in Gdynia in October.
Anderson says the task force has seen very little in terms of changing the culture of Russian athletics in the past 5 years in the wake of the doping crisis which has surrounded the sport in Russia.
For the sake of clean Russian athletes, the task force hope the payment will come through as promised and that the remaining conditions be met. If so, the task force stands ready to work with the members of the RUSAF Reinstatement Commission, including representatives of the Ministry of Sport, to bring about meaningful reforms in Russian athletics.
Russia was told that if all requirements were not met by December 2020, a Congress would be called to confirm expulsion with no appeal allowed. Russia's suspension has been renewed more than a dozen times since 2015. San Francisco teenagers and lacrosse players Owen Estee and Zach Apple found a way to both teach the sport that they love and help feed people in need when their season was canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic.
And just helping people out by doing the little things, just like donating a few thousand bucks that can raise actually quite a few meals, really is helpful.
White Pony Express, where Eve Burge is the executive director of the local food organization.
The whole idea came around one night. It was maybe a week right after our Aquilani season had been canceled due to COVID. And Zach and I were kind of thinking, and we were chatting back and forth because we both really wanted to continue to play the game in a safe way that we could, you know, also maybe raise some awareness or some money for a good cause, especially with harsh times like these. Lessons would be pretty, that would be good for everyone involved, and we can take all the money and donate it to White Pony.
Teen lacrosse players Owen Estee and Zach Apple, teaching their sport to help others in need.
They've raised over $2,000, and that's over 2,000 meals. And so that those meals will go directly to agencies that serve homeless, that serve low-income seniors, foster youth, and then low-income kids and their families.
The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.